Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWFinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome Thursday edition here of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show, as always, brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. That's 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to REWFinancial.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to take a look at Division I basketball, but at a different level. We, of course, we'll have the Penn State basketball show on tonight from Damon's. Patrick Chambers, though, won't be a part of the mix tonight. He'll be one of the assistant coaches tonight because Penn State's playing Nebraska tonight. But usually, of course, we have Patrick Chambers on from 6 to 7. We always have, every Monday, Dave Paulson of Bucknell on. So we talk about the Big Ten, the Patriot. We'll talk here in a few moments about the Northeast Conference with Rob Krimmel, the head basketball coach at St. Francis, to just kind of give you a feel for some of the challenges that they face. Then a little bit later, we're going to talk about baseball with Rob Cooper, the brand-new baseball coach at Penn State. And then in the 4 o'clock half hour, Jeff Byers will be joining us. Jeff Byers will be joining us to talk about Penn State wrestling. In the final half hour, we're going to talk Penn State recruiting with Greg Pickle of Fight On State. Don Mattingly, by the way, has signed a brand-new contract with the L.A. Dodgers. Good news there. And he's had to survive a lot in Los Angeles, but he has a lot of talent to work with. And, of course, one of the truly great Yankees who I think retired this week, I want to say back in 1990, I think he retired this week from Major League Baseball. We're now joined by the head basketball coach at St. Francis in Loretto. That's Rob Krimmel. Rob, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, thanks for having me back, and I know we're going to get into basketball here. I love coming in right after your This Day in History. It was one of my degrees in college, and I was a huge Don Mattingly fan growing up, and is the reason I'm a Yankees baseball fan. So, you know, your mention of Don Mattingly was will put me in a good mood for practice today.
What a great swing Don Mattingly had. Great
Absolutely.
Swing. Let's get to your club. First of all, I want to ask you about, you went to New Britain and you beat Central. You beat Central Connecticut.
Yep.
What were the, and then you lose a tough 5-pointer and you lose a 6-pointer. So there's that fine line. Where did you cross the fine line to win Central, and where didn't you quite get to the fine line with Robert Morris and Wagner?
You know, for the Central game, we were able to make shots and hit our free throws, and we had a few too many turnovers in that game, but you know, it wasn't there weren't many jailbreaks. You know, there were a lot of dead ball turnovers, but then against Robert Morris, we made shot at a very high clip, but just down the stretch, some key plays and some turnovers and second chance points for Robert Morris. And then against Wagner, we took care of the basketball, but we weren't able to make the shots that we needed to make that we did against Central Connecticut. You know, and that's where we are with the team. We addressed them yesterday after a day off on Sunday. That we're right there. I mean, Wagner and Robert Morris and then Bryant, you know, those three teams were picked, 1, 2, and 3 in the league this year. And, we played one good half of basketball against Bryant, got off to a slow start, and then played two good halves against Central. And then, Robert Morris and Wagner, those two teams, are the best in the league, and we were right there with them. But as a program, taking that next step to win those games, that's the hardest step sometimes. You know, it's easy to get, and I won't say it's easy, but to get to that point where you've got the opportunity to make the play and to win the game, and now that next step to win those games, that can be the most challenging. And especially for a team that doesn't have a lot of experience doing those things. So keep grinding away, but you know it's putting two halves back to back in 40 minutes of basketball and as mistake free as we can. You know, our margin for error is slim, but when we take care of the things that we can control, we give ourselves a great chance to win.
How important would it be, and because you just beat Central, how important would it for you to be to get back-to-back wins where suddenly you had repeated success instead of once and then all of a sudden have it pull away the next time through?
That's huge. I mean, especially for our guys and their confidence. You know, it's a lot of times you see individuals, you know, they have one good performance and then it can snowball into two or three good performances. And I think as a team confidence is so important. That you have one win and then you have two or three wins. That does wonders for, you know, a young basketball player's psyche, because now you start to believe in your teammates a little bit more. You start to believe in yourself a little bit more. You start to believe in your role a little bit more, and things are a little bit easier when you come into practice. And the film sessions are typically a little bit more upbeat than after a tough loss. But that's the challenge for this group is consistent. Our effort has been good now, but it's putting consistent performances back to back and executing the game plan and executing what we're trying to run offensively. And that's huge, Steve. That would be huge for this group, because it would create, I think, a little bit of a snowball effect, especially where we are with our schedule. We've got our next four at home and an opportunity to create some of that momentum going into the latter part of our conference play.
Yeah, I was just about to address that, because you really have an odd schedule, and part of this was done, I think, gym availabilities and so forth, and they came into play where suddenly you're in this five-game stretch. The next four are in Loretto at De Gaulle. Is your team comfortable in its own gym? I mean, you know, because you've won on the road. Are they comfortable in their own gym?
That's a great question. I think we are, you know, and we've shot the ball well. We played well. We played Duquesne tough. You know, we had Lehigh in here. We played Lehigh tough. You know, we make the right plays. We have an opportunity to, you know, to win games down the stretch, the last three or four minutes. And you know, I don't know if it's. They like the beds on the road at the hotels better than they do it in the dorm rooms or what. But I mean, certainly up to this point, and some of it does have. I think we've had some pretty challenging teams come in and play us, and right. Have prevented different challenges for us. But I know our guys are comfortable at home, and I think that first win here in De Gaulle, because our only home win was at Johnstown, would. Do wonders for our guys' confidence as well, just getting them to feel good about winning in De Gaulle Arena.
Yeah, no question about that, because they've done certainly some very good things. How important for your players is student support on campus and getting more students out to the games?
That's very important, and it's something we've challenged our guys to get outside of their shell, and not just, we want our team to be tight, we want our guys to be close, but they need to build some relationships with other teams or with other students here on campus. And you know, we have a very unique situation here at St. Francis where we've got the highest percentage of student athletes to our student body, I think, of anybody in the country. Mm-hmm. So as student athletes, and it doesn't just go for us or the women's team or the football team or the field hockey team, there's student athletes. If we can all support one another, regardless of whether it's a soccer game or a volleyball game, if we all show up to support each other, I mean, that's a pretty good sized crowd, regardless of what gym you're in our conference. You know, if we could get our student athletes to all support each other, and of course there are other circumstances, people on the road and practices and all those good things, but it is important. You know, it's important when we can create that atmosphere and that environment where people come to Loretto and they don't like to come up here. I mean, the weather scares a lot of people. As I look out my window, it's snowing, and we love that. I mean, that's a home court advantage. But you know, our band has done a tremendous job. Our cheerleaders, the atmosphere that's being created in De Gaulle Arena, just need to do a better job from a basketball perspective. You know, giving them something to cheer about, and then also our guys building relationships with the students.
Have you as a coach found a pace that you like to play with your team right now as to, you know, where you need to play it, how many possessions you need to play it, and so forth to give yourself the best chance of success?
Yeah, we're at about in the mid-60s. You know, our personnel right now allows us, that's the pace that, you know, that we want to be at. It in those 64, 65, 66 possessions, we want to be really efficient. You know, we don't have the personnel to just fly up and down the court. You know, and some of that has to do with depth. And, you know, eventually I'd like to speed the pace up a little bit more and get into the high 60s, you know, maybe even into the low 70s. But, you know, some of the fastest teams that we've played this year, you know, 73, 74 possessions. And it doesn't seem a lot, you know, I guess, to an outsider, but that's a pretty significant mm-hmm. increase in pace. So
yep.
we're comfortable at about 65, 66 possessions, you know, with the number of guys that we're playing and you know, and the, what we're asking our guys to do offensively and defensively. And one of the strengths of our team is our man-to-man defense. You know, right now we're second in the conference in points per game, and after our non-conference slate, we were second in the conference in points per game. And we're doing some really good things on the defensive side of the ball, and you know, we're making teams have to earn everything. You know, we're giving up a few too many second-chance points. So in doing that, I think we extend the possessions a little bit more defensively and want to make sure that we get something good on offense. You know, as these guys continue to grow and mature as basketball players, I think that, you know, we'll be able to increase the pace a little bit, but right now we're comfortable at about 65 possessions.
How mentally tough is it when you have to play, though, at that pace to do it where the value of each possession is exponentially high?
It is. I mean, and that's the challenge. You know, that's to be able to get something out of every possession. And early on, we were, you know, we were doing a great job with our turnover percentage. I think we got the 12th in the country in turnover percentage, and something that we were dead last in our conference, and I think in the bottom 5% last year nationally. So, you know, as of late, we've turned it over a little bit too much. You know, the next step then is once we get our shot, it's making that shot. You know, and our guys have bought into that, and they've been able to take care of the basketball, except for a little bit of a stretch here in the last, well, not against Wagner, but with Robert Morris, and, you know, even against Central and Bryant, we turned it over a little bit too much. But they figured it out. If we take care of the basketball and get a great shot, you know, combined with the defensive effort, we're going to give ourselves a great chance to win. And now it's just getting over that hump and giving yourself a chance to win, but winning those games and those close games, especially under 2 or 3 minutes.
When you're trying to put a program together, it's not, you know, obviously you're trying to get guys who can play for you right away that can help you. But at some point, building some depth within the program where suddenly a practice is extremely competitive. This question is with all due respect to some people that work very hard for you. Do you get enough in terms of look in practice, competition-wise, that can make everybody better?
Steve, that's an excellent point. Now, I'm very fortunate that I have two guys on my staff that one played professionally for 14 years and the other one just got done playing, played for about 4 years. So I've got some good, young, fresh legs on my staff, you know, that can give our guys, you know, a more realistic look as we prepare for a team like Mount St. Mary's on Thursday. And a lot of it is, you know, our depth at the four and the five. You know, just inside. We've got enough guards running around, but a lot of times it's, you know, getting ready for the opponent's inside game. Because obviously we want to rep our guys at the four and the five and get them as many reps either offensively or defensively, but it does them no good to work against a guy. If we're going against a 6'8 guy, it does no good for him to play against a 6'3 guy as we prepare for that scouting report. So that's a huge thing as we build this program. And, you know, we're playing right now with 10 scholarship guys, and we'll be up to 13 next year, God willing, and everybody stays healthy. But, you know, that's a challenge for us. And, you know, it's not just a challenge for us. I think it's a challenge for a lot of teams at our level.
Rob Krimmel, head basketball coach at St. Francis. Rob, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And those are some of the challenges that are faced on the Northeast Conference level. Challenges that Dave Paulson faces at the Patriot level. There are even some challenges along the way at the Big Ten level, obviously. Penn State, Nebraska coming up tonight, 8 o'clock at the Bryce Jordan Center. Penn State basketball show coming up 6 to 7 this evening, the next half hour. I woke up this morning with 7 degrees, so let's talk baseball. And then Jeff Byers next hour on Penn State Wrestling. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. News is next at the bottom of the hour, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK on this Thursday. Great to have you with us. A lot going on in today's show. We've already talked to Rob Krimmel, the head basketball coach at St. Francis in Loretto. Talking a little Northeast Conference basketball. Coming up in a few moments, since I woke up this morning and it was 7 degrees, might as well talk a little baseball. We're going to talk with Rob Cooper, the new head baseball coach at Penn State, in a few moments. They have a big event coming up, by the way, next weekend. They're going to bring Mitch Williams in, the former Phillies reliever who's now with MLB Network. He's going to come in for what they call the first pitch dinner. We're going to talk about that. And next hour, all right, wrestling fans, we're going to take care of your appetite when it comes to wrestling next half hour, because Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, is going to join us. And we're going to talk football recruiting in the final half hour. We're going to bring in Greg Pickle from Fight On State to talk about that. We are set to go for Super Bowl Media Day, as a matter of fact. We will be at Super Bowl Media Day, and our goal will be next week to get interviews for you with former Nittany Lion quarterback Michael Robinson, who is now the starting fullback for the Seattle Seahawks, and he's made the Pro Bowl as a fullback, and also former Nittany Lion defensive tackle Jordan Hill, who is one of the reserves for the Seahawks up front. And then, obviously, we'll get a few other people along the way as well. But, yes, we have been approved to be at Media Day on Tuesday. So it's going to be an active week next week for me. I have to go to Media Day on Tuesday. I'm at Ohio State on Wednesday. And back for the Penn State basketball show on Thursday. And then Super Bowl Sunday, have a game with Purdue at noon. And then I'll kick back and watch the Super Bowl and take all of Kevin's texts during the game. All right, today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. Now, that's the basic thing that they give us every week. Now let me tell you about Rick. Rick is the kind of guy where in these financial times, you need to sit down with somebody that you trust, that has great judgment, that really takes care of your needs. I've just defined Rick Weibel for you. So give Rick a call, 800-609-9484, or go online to rewfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, so we got a lot going on. Next hour, Jeff Byers, Penn State Wrestling. Final half hour, Greg Pickle, Fight On State on Penn State recruiting. You know, I broke down the numbers on Penn State recruiting, by the way. The way I look at it is Penn State at the moment has 49 scholarship players, and then Anthony Stanko is still on scholarship. He's not with the football team, but he's still on scholarship. That's 50 guys. Penn State will be allowed to have 55 players when it comes to spring practice, but for example, Brad Barnes won't be available. You know, he's not ready yet. So that brings it down to 54, and whomever else is bumped up. So it's going to be limited numbers scholarship-wise in spring practice. But that means the five early entries count, all of five, count on the 2013 recruiting class, the one that brought in Christian Hackenberg and Adam Brenneman. So the five early entries that are in now, okay, Barney and O'Connor and those guys, Tompkins, okay, they count on the 2013 class. That means that James Franklin has 20 he can bring in right now, and he has 16 verbal commitments. That means you can bring in four more guys in this class. That's the way the numbers break down. The Big Ten does allow oversigning. You're allowed to oversign by three. But remember, Penn State cannot exceed the 75-player limit. Okay? Penn State cannot exceed the 75-player limit. So if they have 50 now, that means they can get 25. So just keep that in mind, okay? That's how the numbers break down. We'll talk about that with Greg Pickle coming up in just about an hour from now, talking with him. Bring in the head baseball coach of the Nittany Lion baseball team, brand-new head coach, and they have a first-pitch dinner coming up on the 1st here in State College, and they're going to bring in Mitch Williams, the former Phillies reliever, and also who really does a great job with MLB Network. He's going to be the guest speaker at the dinner, which will be a week from Saturday here in State College. First of all, Rob, it's great to see you at Damon's the other night.
It was fun. I kept meaning, when I first got on campus, kept meaning to get over there for one of the football shows, and I was finally able to break away and get over there and support Coach Chambers. I know they're going to get it done eventually here, and I know he's the right guy to do it, so I wanted to be out there and show my support.
I appreciate that and agree with you wholeheartedly on that. He's still in the infancy of his program at this point. You are absolutely in the infancy of your program. So give me an idea now. You saw them in fall ball. Okay, what did they need to do in the winter program to now get themselves ready so they can start playing ball next month?
You know, that's a great question, and I think the biggest thing, and when you definitely talk about being in the infancy program, and we're definitely in the crawl stage, and I don't mean that like we don't have good players or talent. What I mean is they did a great job in the fall. They really worked hard. They really bought in. I think I said this to you last night. I couldn't have asked for a better group of young men to inherit. They're great kids, and what we wanted them to do was then carry that forward over the break. You know, you basically have a month break there where, you know, hey, yeah, you put in your time. But great teams do; they put in their time over the, you know, they put in their time during the fall, and you have to carry it over so that when you come back at, you know, in January, that you're not starting back at zero. And you know, Jamie Burleson does an unbelievable job with our strength and conditioning. And you know, this has been the first week the kids have been back in the weight room, and you know, he had fitness tests and goals he wanted to meet, and you know, he felt like they met and exceeded them. So you know, from that standpoint, I'm pleased with where we're at, because I think a lot of teams don't use that winter break as a chance to get better. I think they use it as a chance to just get away, and the truth of the matter is great teams, championship teams, don't do that. They use it to get better and build on what they've done.
Well, that's where you make your game. You make your game in the off season when nobody's around looking at you, because you've figured out what you can and can't do, so you try to build upon what you can and try and prove what you can't. Now, for you, you've had to go around and recruit. You're going to recruit everywhere to get players. A lot of people have talked to you about Pennsylvania. What kind of response are you getting on the recruiting trail?
Well, you know, I haven't met Coach Franklin yet, but he stole my theme, man. The dominate the state, that was perfect. That was great. You know, I know that the family clothesline wouldn't have sold as many T-shirts if I had said it. But no, I mean, you know what? All kidding around aside, he really hit it on the head, and that's what we have to do. There's great players in this state, and they, you know, whether it's been high school coaches, summer coaches, you know, the players themselves, I mean, they've been really hungry and thirsty for us to come in and recruit them and to take notice of them the way, you know, that we should. And now, That's not to say that we won't go outside the state, but you know, if there's a good player in the state of Pennsylvania, you know, I want him to be here. You know, I want him to be here at Penn State, and you know, this program is for state of Pennsylvania. And you know, I said this when I got the job, we're not going to get every kid from Pennsylvania, but it's not going to be because we didn't try. Right. And you know, I've been really happy with the feedback and the response, and it's an exciting time right now.
No question about that. Also, and this is something I talked with Patrick last night because you were at the show, and it's something I've talked to and probably will talk to when we get James Franklin here on the show, talk to him about as well. Every coach has a vision of what they have, a positional balance that they like to have, where they feel really comfortable with the positional balance in their team. It only happens through recruiting. So for you, how comfortable are you with the current positional balance, and down the road within a 5-year span, how much does it need to change for you?
You know, it was funny when you asked that question last night to Coach Chambers. I sat there and I was like, you know, that's a good question. I'm just trying to take stock of where we're at. And I'll kind of give you a two-part answer here because I definitely think it's relevant. Is, you know, first of all, you know, as far as where we're at right now, I'm 100% comfortable with it. And the reason why I say that is it exactly the way I would put a team together? No. But it's the team we have.
And I
love these guys, and they're gonna go out and they're gonna battle and give us everything we got. Now, one thing that we have to do, and this would be, even if it was set up this way, the one thing you're always doing is you win with good pitching on the mound. And so, especially here at Medlar Field, where it's a, you know, this ballpark plays real big, you know, we're trying to really make sure that we recruit guys we feel like can be, you know, impact pitchers, both as starters and in the bullpen, and you know, we feel like once we get the kind of depth that we want on the mound, that we'll, you know, we'll be able to really then turn the corner as far as, you know, the kind of the shape of where we're going. So, you know, I think if I had to look to the, you know, 5 years from now, I think you'd see a lot more depth on the mound, and, you know, 1 through 12 rather than, you know, maybe 1 through 6 or 1 through 7. Now, the great thing about it is that if you and I have this conversation at the end of the season, you know, when I get a chance to see our guys actually play against people in other uniforms, mm-hmm. I might be able to say, you know what, we were deeper than I thought. You know, we were 1 through 12, rather than 1 through 7 or whatever. But you know how it is right now. If you pitch well in an inner squad, then you're worried that you can't hit. If you hit well in an inner squad, you don't think you can pitch. So you go home every night thinking you're not very good at something.
That's what somebody will say to me. So you know, in practice, how'd the wideouts look? And I tell them, I said, look, every time a wideout makes a play, the first thing I think of is they're probably upset at the DB. So
yeah,
I said,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
I said, every time I see that, I said, it's not quite what you think.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and that's why when I asked you about that question, I framed it in a 5-year span as to what idealistically, because I know you love your team right now and the kids that you have on it, because they're giving you everything they have. Your staff is also important. The comfort level you have with your staff, and also, in order to do what you're doing, you have to be organized. You're very organized, but you also have to have under people around you who understand your organization. How important has that been staff-wise for you?
I got to tell you, in my opinion, it's the most integral piece. It really is, especially when you're starting new. You know, for the fall semester, you know, you have four coaches here, and you know, three of us are married, but you know, none of our wives were here. So you got to be able to get along, and you have to be able to, you know, work long hours and put the time in, because, you know, and you have to get along. You do. I mean, we don't always agree on everything, but we get along. And the great thing about it is that these guys are, you know, they're able to say, coach, you know, that I don't think we should do it that way, or we need to do this. And, you know, the one thing I feel really, really good about is I know I hired the right guys, and I know that I hired quality people that, so when it comes to something, I don't have to micromanage, which I don't think quality coaches do. I think if you hire good guys and you let them work, and they do that, then you know, you're able to really expand what you do. And I mean, I'm really fortunate, whether it's Blake Beamer, Ross Ader, who, you know, works with our hitters and our infielders and helps with recruiting, or Brian Anderson, who heads our recruiting and works with our pitchers. These guys are just, they're great representatives of Penn State.
I'm Kevin Kugler with this,
you know, and they love this place, so.
Go ahead, Rob.
No. They love this place and they care about it, and they're really getting after it. So it's really made my transition easier, and it's really helped the players out.
Okay, we've talked about introduction had to be exciting, getting around to talking to recruits had to be exciting, fall ball had to be exciting. What's it like for you now, knowing that you're about to actually start coaching them in games?
You know what? I mean this. I'm really excited about it, and I'm really excited about it because. This is going to sound really silly, but maybe to some people, but you know, I honestly don't know what to expect from this group right now. And you know, we could go out and we could play really, really well, and or we could go out and we could struggle for a little bit. But what I like about the struggle part of it is it's an awesome challenge to have, to sit there and go, okay, here's where we're at. Where do we need to go? And I'm not saying we are going to go struggle. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what's exciting about it is you get 10, 15 games into this thing, you go, okay, now I really know where we need to go. And, you know, I've got ideas right now, but when the lights come on, certain things happen. So the biggest thing I'm looking for is, are these guys going to play hard? And are they going to play hard? Are they going to compete? And if the fall has been any indication of how they are, then my answer is that they're going to play hard and they're going to compete. I mean, they're not going to have a choice because that's what we're going to do. But it's exciting, and you know the other part of it is I want to see us continue to get better through the year, and if I see effort and I see competitiveness, and you know right now everybody's buying in, but when there's adversity and there's struggle, to still see that buy-in, and that's the challenge. That's what I think I might have said this to you when I was lucky enough to coach that gold medal team this year. People asked me, what was the best part about it? I tell people that the best part about it was how hard it was.
Right.
Because if it hadn't been hard, you know, it wouldn't be as memorable. It wouldn't mean as much right now. So I'm excited about it.
Hey, there's no shortcut to experience. Where are you a better coach now than when you took over at Wright State? Because that was your first head coaching job.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You know, I think you know, when I took over as a head coach, you know, I was so excited to be a head coach, and I was, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, just give me a head coaching opportunity and I know I can do well, and you got to have that mindset, but you also, you have to know that it's a process. You know, the story I tell all the time to people is, you know, when I get to Wright State my first year, there was a point in the season where we were 17-14, we were 8-1 in conference and in first place, and it was the first time they had been over 500 that far in the season in like 6 or 7 years, and I'm thinking we're turning the corner. Well, then we lost 10 straight,
yeah.
And I remember going, you know what, like these guys, they don't know how to win yet. Now there's expectations when you win. Now, and you would think, just to the common person, that hey, you're winning, so you got to love that. You got to embrace it. But you know, it you do have to learn how to win. You do have to learn how. Okay, there are expectations, but there's a way to handle it, and there's a way. You know, rather than when you're in a losing expectation, it's like, well, if we win, great. If we lose, we're supposed to lose. You know, so. I think it's just reminding me that, yeah, it is. It's going to take time. You know, as much as I'd like to push the fast forward button on this, I'm not going to, and we can't.
Rob, an absolute pleasure as always. One of many conversations we'll have as we roll through this. But I appreciate the time very, very much.
No problem. And Steve, if you don't mind. February 1st, we've got our first pitch banquet with Mitch Williams. It's going to be a great night. We're going to have it at the Penn Stater. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Program begins at 6:30. You can get information at gopsusports.com, and it's going to be a great night. Chance to meet the players, meet the team, meet the Wild Thing, and I know you're going to be there, so excited for that as well.
Looking forward to it very much. That's going to be a great night, which we're going to really talk about as we ramp up toward that big Saturday night, the night before the Super Bowl, in fact.
Awesome. And you know what? You know it's baseball season when there's flurries outside my window.
That's exactly right. Welcome to Pennsylvania baseball.
That's right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Rob Cooper. He's the head baseball coach at Penn State. Great guy. Energetic. And what I like is he's going to really work the state. There's a lot of good baseball players in this state. And, you know, this is the Pennsylvania State University. They should be getting the best baseball players in the state. And he is committed to doing that. He said, but look, he said, I'm not going to just confine myself to the state. Yeah, you know. He says, we'll find players anywhere we can get them. He says, but they're going to work the state. And as he said, James Franklin stole his line. We're going to dominate the state. All right. Coming up in the next half hour, they don't just dominate the state. They dominate the nation. Penn State Wrestling. Jeff Byers is going to step in, give us an update on the Nittany Lions. We're heading into another big weekend of wrestling, including Illinois, ranked 11th in the country. Coming up next. So we're going to talk with Jeff next half hour. Then we're going to shift to football recruiting. I went through the numbers when we started this segment on Penn State football recruiting. And Greg Pickle from Fight On State is going to join us in the final half hour. Then, of course, we have the Penn State basketball show, Damon's, tonight from 6:05 to 7. And then we'll have, of course, Nittany Lion basketball. Penn State will play tonight against Nebraska in the Jordan Center tonight at 8. It's also on ESPNU. Tonight. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next week, a busy week next week. Going to Super Bowl Media Day on Tuesday. Chance to talk with Michael Robinson and Jordan Hill, and then off to Ohio State on Wednesday. Big week. News coming up top of the hour, then Jeff Byers on Penn State Wrestling next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.